Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ M. And I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's Friday, February 21st, 2025. And today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in Into Action, page 80, third paragraph, starting with, he felt that he had done a wrong he could not possibly make right, ending with, how could he possibly make a statement exonerating his rival? And we're just hitting that paragraph and sharing on that paragraph. Today's readers, for the steps, we have Tenzin P, the 12 traditions, Joan E.C. Reading the text is Anita L. Page 164 is Judith S.P. Excuse me, our backup reader is Joni Y. A newcomer greeter is Levon P. Second hour host, Eileen M. And announcements is Kathy S. Yesterday's share ID. So Thursday, February 20th, 2025, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,185. That's 22185. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,186. 22186. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating, compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Now, they asked Tenzin P to read the 12 steps for us today.
Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P checking in from New York. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tenzin. Next up is Joni C. with the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thanks, Joni. Thanks, Tenzin. All right, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your share discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive readers only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked with what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 on mute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we resume our study of the Big Book in the End of Action, Chapter 7, page 80, that third paragraph. And it starts with, he felt that he had done a wrong he could not possibly make right, ending with exonerating his rival. We're just sharing on that, reading and sharing on that. And starting us off is Anita L.
Good morning, everybody. This is Anita L. from outside Philadelphia, living in the solution for today. Amen. He felt that he had done a wrong he could not possibly right. If he opened that old affair, he was afraid it would destroy the reputation of his partner, disgrace his family, and take away his means of livelihood. What right had he to involve those dependent upon him? How could he possibly make a public statement exonerating his rival? Well, so when we're saying he felt, we're talking about the guy in the paragraph before who was dishonest in his disease and disgraced his partner. And now we see an entirely different perspective. We see a man whose thinking has been transformed because he is now a sober man and living one with his higher power, and therefore no longer wants to disgrace his friend. He's willing to do what it takes to make things right, and that's where step 9 comes into play, and he no longer wants his friend to, or his past business partner to, or another human being, actually, to be in, the disgrace of his fellows. And so what does he have to do? How could he possibly make a public statement exonerating his rival? And that is where my higher power comes into play, and his, I'm sure. You know, I have had to make amends for things I've done wrong in the past. Yesterday, we heard many examples of things that people did in the past and how their lives have changed because they were willing to go to any length, every length, to step up to the plate and state their part. And I have done that several times. Some were very uncomfortable, including to my son, you know, or my husband. But there have been like a past employer that was really a very difficult amend. And it didn't come out with such a great result either. However, what I did beforehand was to get spiritual guidance. I went to my sponsor. I called others and let them know that I was about to make this this spiritual amend, and I surrendered it to my higher power. And so therefore, it turned out exactly the way it was meant to. And what's the bottom line here? Excuse me. It's freedom. Freedom. Isn't that why I'm doing all this work? I want to be free of the bondage of self and food and my distorted thinking. And working these steps brings me to that point, especially step 9, you know, willing to go to any length. And one amend took me about 30 years to finally make. And oh my goodness, guys, it felt like a weight fell off my chest. Literally. And the person I made the amend to, he was so loving, loving and grateful, gracious. So I encourage all of you, no matter how difficult it may be, go to every length in order to bring you freedom. And with that, I pass. Have a beautiful day. Thank you.
Thanks, Anita. Appreciate it. So now we're going to open up the lines for sharing. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back, allow others to share. And I just need your name, where you're calling from, and the first initial of your last name. One at a time, please.
Melissa C.
Kelly B.
Shannon
Melissa
Kelly
B. Melissa.
Rachel Kelly B.
Dominique B. Shauna. There are some of these.
Reba P.
Reba.
Roby L.
Is that Roby?
Yep.
Okay, there was someone B after Melissa.
Kelly.
Aha, there you go. That's what it was. Kelly B. Okay, come on. We got plenty of room.
Ramona A.
Ramona. Who else? Pete B.
Rachel K.
You got Pete. Rachel. You could take two more. All right, let's go with this then. I'm forcing it, right? So Melissa C., Kelly B., Shauna C., Reva P, Roby L, Ramona A, PP, and Rachel K. All right, Melissa, you're up.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Thanks so much for your service. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And, you know, I want to start off by saying that today is 11 years of entire abstinence for me. And, you know, and so when I read this, what I see is, you know, that one statement that he felt he had done a wrong he could not possibly make right. Like, when I came in this program, I felt like my life was in ruins, and I was never going to be able to make it right. I could not make it right because I was powerless. And then at the end of the paragraph, it says, how could he possibly, you know, make a public statement exonerating his rival? And I think, how could we possibly fill in the blank? Could he, you know, all of the things that this program helped me do, helped me put my life in order, I actually could not do it. This is a program of miracles. That's really the truth. And I have had some tremendously difficult amends where I thought, you know, I was more consumed with my reputation. I wasn't really thinking about how it was going to impact my family's reputation, but I was concerned about me, my livelihood, my reputation, what other people think of me, because that was the soil that I was planted in, you know. And there's a part in Bill's story where it talks about, you know, where he saw Ebby and he said his roots grasped new soil. And this amends process for me was where, like, God helped me rip my roots from that old soil and shake it off and put it in new soil. And I have made some difficult amends. But I also actually have, I have two amends that involve and implicate other people, and I have not been given the green light to make them. And I can't, because it will impact those two other people. But I'm willing, you know, I'm willing, and I would do a workaround as best I can. And I actually believe that God will help make this right, so long as I'm willing. And that, you know, my whole recovery, my whole life now is very closely tied to this amends process, because we make it, but then we live it. And, you know, I'm human. I mess up all the time. And I apologize, and I try to make it right, and I'm less concerned about my reputation today as I am about my integrity. And when I live that way, like the years, I know 11 years for some people is nothing. To me, I could pinch myself. It's a miracle. I've fallen in a brand new life, and it's a result of working these steps. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Melissa. Congratulations. So next up is Kelly B., followed by Shana C. Star one, Kelly.
Hi, sorry about that. This is Kelly B. from New York, a grateful compulsive overeater. And the parts of this paragraph that really stand out to me are old affair, what right had he to involve those dependent on him, and public statement. So yesterday I had an opportunity to make a pretty scary amends because of an issue with my own behavior. A restaurant in my town had not been paid money that it deserved from my employer. And this was 16 years ago, so old affair. And I went to my employer, I went to the accounting department, and they didn't have any information on it. I didn't think that the money had been paid, but I wasn't sure. So I talked to my sponsor about it, I prayed about it, and my sponsor said, I think you should talk to your husband about it because it does involve money, and then just pray about it and see how you're directed. So yesterday, driving home, I was talking to my husband, and I explained the whole process to him, and I said, you know, the way I would like to work on this amends is to privately Facebook one of the owners of this restaurant's wife and ask her if, you know, this money, if this bill was paid, and then set up, you know, a payment plan. And my husband goes, why don't we just go now and go do it? Like, what? Real, oh God, terrifying. It was 5:30 at night. We're going to a restaurant. And so I started to pray about it because I was really uncomfortable. And I immediately started to make excuses like, oh, no, I don't, oh, I should just do this quietly. And I prayed, and the intuitive voice, God said, you've been praying all day for me to guide this conversation with your husband. And he's saying, let's just go do it. Go do it. Follow his advice. So okay, we go to the restaurant last night, and I walk in. It's busy restaurant, and I walk up to the main counter, and both owners are there. And I'm like, okay, here we go. And I was honest. I said, years ago, 16 years ago, you know, we had this event here, and I don't think the money was paid. And the owner looks at me and goes, no, it wasn't. And I'm like, okay, he remembers. And so I said, well, I'd like to make it right. I'd like to pay for it. And the owner goes, okay. And, you know, don't worry about it. No, he was like, it was about $325. He didn't remember the amount, but he asked me what it was. And I was honest. I said, I think it's about this much money. And he rang up the bill. And my husband and I paid for it. And then I was, oh, my God, my face was purple. I mean, splotchy. And I was shaking, similarly to how I am shaking right now. And I just wanted to run for the car. And my husband looked at the owner and goes, and we're going to stay for dinner. And I'm like, oh, my God. So we did. I sat down and we had dinner, and I was able to eat abstinently. And I went up and paid the bill for our dinner and walked back and grabbed our stuff from the table. And we were leaving, and back information quickly. Oh, okay. Well, call me if you want. The rest of the story is crazy too, but this program is a miracle. Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Kelly. Appreciate it. Next up is Shanna C, followed by Reba P.
Good morning. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Thank you, Russ, for your service and everyone who shared and everyone on the line. And I'm so grateful that for the amends, because, the idea, my mind tells me that no matter what the amend is, my mind always tells me this is something that I cannot possibly ever make right. I tend to be someone that if I can't fix it myself with using my own brain and my own ideas and here's how I'm going to fix it, whatever, then it's not possible at all. I forget that I've tapped into a power by which I can live. And it's the power that's actually fixing the problem, and the problem's actually already been fixed. It's just a matter of me taking the action and stepping into that reality of it. And when I take the action of these steps and follow the directions in this book, I'm actively putting my faith in a power greater than myself, because I'm following directions contrary to what my brain has, the scenario that my brain has actually created. These are experiences of people that have actually happened that have proved the reality of a power greater than themselves. And so I'm so grateful that, like, in my experiences, and I could go on about so many different types of amends, that I've done, that has just absolutely blown me away. And then there are some that have been absolutely uneventful. And it's the uneventful ones that humble me, it seemed like, the most, because it's like, okay, so I'm doing this anonymously now. You know, I'm doing this for not getting any kind of credit or anything. You know, I'm making repairs for what I've done in the past to harm people. And one particular one keeps popping into my head. I dated a boy for 4 years, all through high school. Same boyfriend, all through high school. I broke up with him when I went off to college because, you know, whatever. Anyway, years later, he's on my amends list. And, of course, I harmed him when I was dating him. Of course, I harmed him in the nature and how I treated him, you know, whatever. And but he was on my amends list, and he kept coming to my mind. And I prayed for it, prayed for him and about it, and prayed for the willingness and the ability to make the amends and whatever the nature of the amends needed to be. And I kid you not, like within a day, I show up at a grocery store and he's standing in line at the bank that's there in the grocery store, and I see him and I flip out. I was like, oh, my God, am I supposed to make this amend to this dude? Well, I hadn't really talked necessarily with my sponsor about it yet. Thank God for 10, 11, 12, was able to pause and pray. And I was like, okay, I'm willing to do it. If he's still there, and I turned around and he had already left. And after I went back home and shared the experience with my sponsor, she was like, yeah, that's not an amend you need to be making. You're a married woman right now. We don't need to be creating any more jealousy, suspicion, bitterness, or fear. The best amend you can make to him is to leave him alone. But I had to walk through that in order to see that. So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the types of amends that I get to make by leaving stuff alone as well. Anyway, thanks for allowing me to share. And before I start rambling, I'm going to shut up. Love you all.
Thanks, Shauna. Next up is Reva. Reva P.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. You know, the line that's really striking me this morning is a wrong that I cannot possibly make right. And I know this is a program of action, and I launch and next and I do and I write and I have all these do things. But, you know, this is such a great reminder for me that sometimes after all the doing and inventory and checking with a sponsor and getting guidance, I need to sit still with the discomfort or with the uncertainty and just sit with it. And sometimes for me, that is harder than the doing, doing, doing. And when I do that and I just am still, and I don't know, it could be a few minutes, a few hours, a few days, whatever it is, God's guidance comes and then I am in alignment and I can allow God's outcome to unfold. Because, you know, as I'm listening to all the examples, yeah, sometimes I need to muster up the courage to do what I don't want to do. And sometimes I'm supposed to do nothing. And I don't know that. And when things just seem so confusing, that's usually me trying to figure it out. The other thing that struck me is, you know, that flip in thinking where it's all about me and I want to look good and I don't care how many people I damage along the way and how much wreckage I create. And now he's concerned about the reputation of his partner and his family. That I start, the whole point of this is thinking about others and not just do this self-will run riot like a bulldozer through my life. So it's that balance. And I think by the time I'm at step 9, I get some kind of discretion with guidance. But the ultimate guidance comes from my higher power. And I have to trust, if I'm supposed to make an amends, no matter how difficult, God's going to show it to me. It's going to be clear. I'm going to have that disturbance. I'm going to have that inner leading. And that is the ultimate authority. So, with that, I pass.
All right. Thank you, Reva. Sorry about that. My earbuds just fell out of my ears. All right, so before Robiel jumps on, I'm going to let you know where we're at if he came on a little later. We're on In the Action, page 80, third paragraph. He felt that he had done a wrong he could not possibly make right. Just that paragraph, that's all we're doing and sharing today. So next is Robiel.
Okay, thanks. Hi, this is Robiel from Vermont. The previous member shared that that line about a wrong that he could not possibly make right. That's what stood out to me too. And thinking about how it's true, right? Like I can't possibly make things right. I tend to make things worse. And in the past, you know, when there would be a conflict or when I had done something wrong and I was about to be exposed or feared I was being exposed, I needed to try to make things look right. I needed to arrange the lights, the mirrors, you know, my hair. I had to look right. I needed to sound right. And I was so nervous and torn up inside trying to make things look right. And, this step has taught me that, like, I don't need to set things right. I just need to get right. I need to be right with God. And story after story that people share just shows that it's something it turns out to be something we couldn't have seen or predicted the way it turns out. And so getting right with God is so much better than any fix I could have come up with. But for me, it's been mostly like a better relationship with the truth and seeing that the truth is, you know, God, for me, God is truth. That's one aspect of God. And it's always better than what I come up with. But I had, you know, I've had some big ones that tore me up, nervousness inside. And I guess the big thing is I don't live like that anymore. And this just reminds me, I don't live worried that I'm going to be exposed. And any amends was worth getting past that state of fear. But I had a funny one during COVID. I don't know her very well, and she works on a different kind of area of my department. And there can be almost an us versus them. That's their territory, and we have our territory. And we borrowed their area of the office for a few days. And this was when everyone was masked and nervous, and contagion and infection was such a big deal. And I sat at her desk, and I remember I put a piece of gum in my mouth because it was, I think somebody gave it to me, and I was nervous. And I realized, oh my God, I don't chew gum anymore. And I took the gum out immediately and stuck it on the table or on the desk. And then I guess I left it. And the next day she found gum at her workstation and was horrified during these tense times and wrote an email to the whole department, like, whoever left gum at my desk, that's so disgusting. I instantly had this, oh man, that's me. I got to own it. And I replied, all, that was me. I am so sorry. You deserve a safe workspace. I'll send it. Okay. Anyway, she laughed and wrote back, that's hysterical. No problem. And we still are great friends. So anyway, that's my share. I don't have to live like that. Worried about trying to fix the truth. So I'll pass.
All right, Webby. Thank you. Next up is Ramona A, followed by PP.
Good morning, everyone. This is Ramona A in Vermont, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I'm grateful to be able to share around this topic this morning. You know, it's something that has been in my mind, that is in my mind, that there are things that I have done that I cannot correct. I can't make fully right. And I remember once when I was living in Africa that there was a man, because of my pride and because I was not honest, lost his job. And when I was got in the program and started looking at amends and things, there was no way. I didn't know his name. I didn't know where he lived. I didn't know anything about him. So I couldn't make direct amends to him or his family. No, I don't know. I've never known exactly what happened to him. But I have done my best to make amends in supporting, you know, students to get a good education and supporting some people to start businesses, things like that, the best that I could do. But it's something that I still remember, and I pray for that person and for his family, because there's just no way that I can make it right for them. And another person, in this country that I got in a controlling, I guess I was trying to control a situation, and it turned out that he was a student visa here, and he lost that because of my trying to control something, and he didn't get a job that he thought that he could get and so make it easy for him to stay in this country. So he then disappeared, you know, one of those people who did, and finally did end up finding a way to stay, a legal way to stay in this country, and he's now a citizen, and I have made amends to him. And I don't know what his life would have been like if he had gotten that job, and I know his life is okay now, but that's not a justification for what I did. And what has happened for me in the program, and I've made amends to him, that I no longer want to do anything to try to control. And I've given things to God, you know, that I wanted to control, but I can't control. And I'm just afraid I would hurt people again. And of course, once in a while, I do, but I try not to do that. That's a really, really big thing for me, because once something is done, you can't undo it. So thanks. I pass.
Thanks, Ramona. Next up is Pete B, followed by Rachel K.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Thanks for taking the meeting. Appreciate your service. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. And I love these two paragraphs, right? Because I love grand gestures. I love feeling special. I love being recognized for being courageous, right? And, you know, that's part of my problem is I like to be treated special for doing things I'm supposed to be doing in the first place, right? Like, you know, it's just, I just love these grand gestures. So this is a story of a man making the grand gesture, and it appeals to me, right? But you know what? Both the paragraphs are super, super ambiguous, right? Because in the previous paragraph, it says his rival was ruined. Well, he ruined how? Was his business ruined? Was his reputation ruined? What was ruined? And amends, right? Repairing that is not, we're not making direct apologies. Apology is just an acknowledgement of an offense or failure. That's all that is. We're making direct amends. An amends is compensation or redress for a wrongdoing. Right? So this person, while it's, like I said, it's super ambiguous, did he give the money back? Did he quantify how he was ruined and make restitution for ruining him? Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that at all. Right? And that's what we have to understand. Like, you know, if we're getting guidance from a sponsor and the sponsor's unfamiliar with what the definition of terms are, well, then we're just asking somebody for directions who doesn't know how to get to the destination. Right? You know, these words, the words in the message are important and they have application. And, you know, replacing them with our definitions of them, we're not getting any closer. Are we reconciling the past? Yeah. Is there opportunity for reconciliation? Absolutely. Absolutely. But this step specifically deals with compensating or making up for wrongdoing. So we need to make sure that we're quantifying the damage we've done from the harm, not the hurt. Again, two words, different meaning, right? We're not making an amend. Amend means change. We're making an amends, which I already said what the definition of that word is. So it's super, super important that we understand what the task is here. We're simply correcting the wrongs that we did in the past that were harmful to other people. And then we get the freedom. We can look the world in the eye knowing that we made right the things we did wrong and not trying to feel special for doing something we should have done in the first place. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Pete. Next up is Rachel K, and then we'll take another list.
Hey, Rush, thank you so much for leading the meeting. Hi, this is Rachel K, compulsive overeater in Indiana. And yeah, this guy, and I don't know what his name is, called Harlan, I'm sure he knows what his name is, but this guy that we're talking about is getting into what I get into quite frequently, my biggest character defect, fear. He is getting into fear and catastrophizing, which is just, let's see, catastrophizing, a five-syllable word for fear. What is this going to do with my wife? What is this going to do to my partner? I can't possibly do this. With amends, with whatever it is, it's like, oh my gosh, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and I can't do this. I can't possibly do this. And then we see, and I'm skipping ahead here, but he goes to his wife, he goes to his partner, and they're like, you know, I mean, this is sort of implied, but, you know, because it says after consulting with them, so it's implied that they're like, no, that's we're cool, dude. You know, go ahead, make your amends. No, don't worry about us. We'll be fine. So he hasn't even consulted with them yet. And he's like, how can I possibly do this? And that's what I have to remember is that I can't possibly. God does for me the impossible. God does for me what I cannot do for myself. God enabled him to do this, to get up in front of all those people. I know we haven't read this yet, you know, and basically say, look, I was at fault. You know, my rival or previous rival wasn't his fault. It was my fault. You know, he clears his reputation. But that I have to stay in the now and ask God for guidance, because if I do, then God is like, okay, well, go to your wife or, you know, whatever it is, go to your partner. Okay, that's step one. Like, you're not in the church yet talking to people. Okay, you clear it with them. Now, you know, now God is going to help me do what it is that I have to do. If it's an amends, if it's a whatever it is, presentation at work. I know we're in steps 8 and 9, but whatever it is, God will do for me what I can't possibly do. How can I possibly make this right? The answer is I can't. God can. So anyway, have a good weekend, everybody, and I'll pass.
All right. Thanks, Rachel. Appreciate it. Before we open it up for Sharon again, so y'all know what's coming up in November, 259 days, the Power to Big Book Weekend 2025, a vision for you. It's November 7th, Friday, and it ends on November 9th, Sunday, obviously. And it's in Newark. It's going to be in Newark, Liberty International Airport, I believe. It's where, yep, it's where it starts. So you could go to the website. Early bird registration's open. And you just go a vision, the number 4U.info. So it's AVISION, the numeral 4YOU.info. And you'll see it right on our landing page. Then you go down to there's details, everything that you would need to know. There'll be meetings, speakers, fellowship. If you've been to one, it's great. If not, get there. So, all right. So now we're going to open up the lines for Sharon. You know, we're on page 80 there in into action. And if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back. Who would like to share? I think we have time for 3 shares right now.
Kim A?
Kim?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the page?
It's page 80, third paragraph, and it starts with he felt he had done a wrong that he could not possibly
gotcha.
Make right.
Thank you, Venus.
That's Tina. And then one more.
Gail H. from Washington State.
All right, Gail. So Kim A., Tina S., and Gail H. Kim, you're up.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. This is Kim A. from New York City. So obviously we're at the part where we're making amends to people. And, you know, this sometimes seems like a pretty straightforward, simple process. Who we owe amends to, who we don't owe amends to, how we make it, and when we make it. But it's not always so easy. And the way that my sponsor had me begin was when I had my step 8 list, I divided it into now, later, maybe, never. And it's a fluid list, right? So, you know, step 9 continues for a long time. So when I first made my amends, I started with the simple now amends. And, you know, some of them are really obvious, like people that we might have screwed over or stolen money from. And, you know, those types of amends may be on our maybe or our never list because we can't imagine putting ourselves in a position where we're, like, you know, quote unquote, humiliating ourselves or you know, possibly we might owe a lot of money. But what's amazing about this fluid list is that as we continue to live in 10, 11, and 12, or at least this is certainly what happened for me, these people that were on my never list, these people that I couldn't stand, people who had wronged me, people who I didn't like them, I started to become more and more humble. And that's what making amends is about. It's about becoming humble, not humiliating ourselves, but becoming humble enough to take responsibility for damage and harm that we've caused, owning up to it. And it's not just an apology. It's asking, how can I make things right? And most of the time, you know, we can't really make things right, or people will just kind of, like, be like, it's fine, don't worry about it. But in some cases, especially like financially, we do need to make things right. And so, you know, even if we're not willing to make amends like that at the very beginning of step nine, as we continue with step nine and we pray for the willingness, usually we're able to do it. And where it says, what right had he to involve those dependent upon him? We always consult with people who may be affected by any financial or other amends we're going to make. So if we're married and we have to make amends because maybe we owe like $100,000 or something, we need to get with our spouse and, you know, speak with them about it. Because, you know, this is, we can't cause harm to other people. So when we make amends, we have to really understand our motives. We need to be in touch with our sponsor, in touch with our higher power, so that, you know, we're doing things the way that they're meant to be done. Because this is the stuff that made us eat, right? When we would build up these feelings, when we would do things, they're dishonest. Like, these are the things that would lead us to food for ease and comfort. So we got to stay on top of it. Kim A. from New York City. Thank you.
Thanks, Kim. Next up is Tina S., followed by Gail H.
Thanks so much, Russ, for your service. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Wow, what a great meeting. You know, I wasn't going to share in this because I don't have direct experience with, you know, affecting somebody else's livelihood. And then when, it, you know, was just shared that, you know, we don't do this on our own, you know, bottom line, you know, God does this for us, you know. We become willing, God presents the opportunity was what I was always told. And, you know, and I can remember, you know, I had several financial amends to make. And, you know, I had moved from Pennsylvania to Florida. And so I thought, well, I'm moving from Pennsylvania to Florida. I'm not going to pay. I'm just going to leave all my bills there, you know. I don't know what I was thinking. But anyway, I'd worked down in Florida for a while, and I was actually in a relationship, and I was going through the steps and, you know, thinking about making the amends. And, you know, I was thinking this financial man, you know, I don't know how to get a hold of all these people in Pennsylvania. You know, so, you know, that's on the list where, you know, I don't know. I guess God has to help me out here, you know. And what happened was I worked in the pharmacy at the time, and I get this phone call, and it's for Tristina. You know, I go by Tina, but my legal name is Tristina. And I get on the phone, and these are these people, you know, wanting their money. And, you know, they find me in Florida. I don't know why I didn't think they would. But bottom line was, you know, I was able to, at that time, set up a payment plan with these people. And I had spoke to a partner about this kind of stuff, but it was just, it was a doable thing, you know, for the amount of money that I thought I had to pay it all back at one time. But what happens when I invite God in, when I'm willing to do the next right thing, when I'm doing the deal, you know, when I am becoming a different person through working these steps and making right the wrongs I had created, you know, it's always a doable deal in God's world. You know, and I was able to do that, and it didn't affect my partner in any way. And I thought it was going to affect me more than anybody else, let me just tell you, to be honest. And it didn't affect me in any way. I was able to pay this off, and it was just, it was a miracle, because on my own, I would have never contacted anybody, because I didn't have, well, maybe later on, I didn't have that mindset at the time. But what happens is God intervenes, he presents the opportunity, and I do the deal. You know, I take care of the stuff. I make it right. And this was a great meeting. So I'm really looking forward to the other share. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tina. Next up is Gail H.
Good morning. I'm Gail H. from the state of Washington. Oh, thank you so much for this meeting. It's always such a nice place to be in a place of learning. And I learn from all of you and be right-sized and as present as I can be. And in the past year, I have been in a place I've never been before with a kind of humility I've never experienced. And just being able to walk is quite a new, humbling kind of experience. And not recognizing that I now live alone with multiple medical situations, and I've scared many people in my life currently with worrying about me, and I've kind of blown it off. I wasn't taking it seriously. And then God gives me the gift of awareness and blind spot busting and, you know, the ability to, after three people sent police and wellness checks and being afraid, and I could hear the fear. And there is the beginning, and talk to my sponsor. And, you know, in my human condition, I was clueless, and this happens often, the not knowing, and but learning that I don't know, and I cannot make things right. And boy, that's been important to understand for me. There's no way of making things right, but there are options of what I can do in my human form. And then I pray. I pause, I pray. And given that I'm not very mobile, there is the opportunity for prayer. And that's my doing in this season of life. So it's nice to be as right-sized as is possible. And I'll see what I can learn today. Thank you all. Bless you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Gail. So we have time for one more share. Like that. Who else would want to share? We got 3 minutes.
Sherry M.
All right, Sherry, you're up. Hit it.
Okay. Thanks, Russ. Sherry M. And I'm gratefully recovered today in Wyoming. And thanks so much for taking the meeting, and this paragraph really speaks to me. I have to say, being in program, when I first came into program and started living this way of life, I was single, I was relationship avoidant, I was a woman who had never been married, never had kids, and it was super easy to, you know, to not speak about anybody, let's say, and I was so the opposite. Where I wouldn't talk about anybody if they weren't in the room, and that was what my principle was. And then I lived that way for about 17 years. It was super easy. And then I got married, and then my husband wanted to talk about others. And I found myself, I think, as a way of just sharing things. And as much as it bothered me to listen to anything negative about anybody, I started slowly, connecting with him that way. And then we moved out of town, and now we're living in this community. We moved across states, and I moved into a development, which we've never lived in, and there's a lot of things going on at a higher level and a lot of toxicity. And I became involved very quickly in trying to make things right. And as a result, speaking poorly about others has become the new habit for me. And I want to tell you, it is, it's not a good way to live. And so I had a dream last night that I made it right by telling one of my neighbors that I should never be speaking poorly about anybody, and I won't do it again. So I'm making a commitment for 30 days. I will only speak the praises of everybody in this community, and all of it is, everyone on this line would agree that the things going on here are what they are. But again, I'm a distinct entity, and happy birthday, happy anniversary, Melissa C. Thank you so much. And, you know, she always talks about the distinct entity. I cannot afford, my spiritual life cannot afford to live like normal people. And I'm surrounded by all normies, and I'm the only one in this community that lives this way of life. And so I must rise up with God. And so I'm asking God, direct my words, direct my actions. And going to all these people to tell them I talked about them is not going to, that's going to be causing more harm. I mean, that's pretty clear, but there is a way to make this right. And I have to put others first and Sherry last. And that's what's coming to me today. And the fact that I'm dreaming about this because of this meeting going on all week, and I listen to this and I listen to everyone's shares, it's telling me that today is the day. And I'm so grateful I had a chance to share this and make this commitment with my fellows. And I'm so grateful to be living this way of life where I can eventually come and see that this is killing me. It's not the food, but it's acting and behaving in a way that is not in alignment with my principles. And slowly but surely. Thank you all. Have a blessed weekend. Bye-bye.
All right, Sherry, thank you. Appreciate your sharing. We thank everyone who shared. in this meeting today and did service. Thank you so much. All right. Please join us for second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. And also, I believe this is the last one for Friday on in February, if I got it right. And I just, thanks to, oh, no, I'm sorry, we got one more. Sorry about that. I told you I'm not good with the math. But all right, so today's share ID, Friday, February 21st, 2025, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,188. That's 22188. Now we're going to close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Judith S.B., please read, if you can read, our book is meant to be subjective only. Then we'll pray the Serenity Prayer.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Judith S.B. from Maryland, gratefully recovered for this moment. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you